snow days ain't what they used to be. Now that tens of thousands of federal employees have the capability to telework, the calculus for when to close federal offices has changed. Regardless, it's not a simple decision. As Washington started the long dig out from this past weekend's dump, I caught up with the Director of Facilities, Security, and Emergency Management at the Office of Personnel Management, Dean Hunter.
It's a very coordinated approach with a variety of our state and local and federal partners. Our main venue for situational awareness is the Council of Governments conference call. We strategically determine the time for those calls based upon each storm. And then when the storm does come and we have the call, we've got a variety of people reporting. We've got the National Weather Service, which will tell us about the current and the future forecast conditions. We've got each of the departments of transportation, which will chime in on the status of their roads as well as sidewalk conditions. Each of the public transportation providers, for instance, WMATA, Bus and Rail, all of the local rail providers, Amtrak, VRE, will provide a status of their service. We even get reports from the power companies, from law enforcement, the airports authority, and last, even local governments and school districts. Typically, we have about 200-plus people that are on those calls, and so it's a good opportunity for us in one setting to get all the information we need to make a decision.
200 people are on one call?
Typically so.
I'm just curious as how do you handle that, and how does anyone get heard?
Well, it's very regimented. We've had a lot of practice over the last couple of years, so there are very protocols in who speaks first and in what fashion we go through a reporting, and very much in the same order that I just listed it to you. And then we open it up to the floor for questions.
And who makes the actual call for OPM? Is it the director?
It is. It's the director of OPM.
And so that's authority vested in him, or in this case her, to be able to do that on behalf of the federal government in this area. And how do the federal executive boards tie in? I mean, Baltimore they were hit in this particular storm pretty much like Washington is, but that's not always the case.
First off, the D.C. decision and the decision which is made by the director of OPM is for the Washington, D.C. beltway and inside. So there may be some agencies that are just outside the beltway which will make their own decision. They can choose to follow the OPM guidance or not based upon the local conditions. As you might imagine, the eastern side of the beltway might have quite different weather conditions than might the western side of the beltway. As to the federal executive boards, they were set up just for that very purpose, recognizing that geography plays a large role in the changes of any storm. So the federal executive boards of each of the areas, including Baltimore, will get together and make a similar decision to what we do for the Washington, D.C. side.
And how much discretion do agency heads have, say, as you say, if the weather's different on one side of the beltway versus the other, or north or south suburbs and so on? I suppose an office like deep in the Maryland suburbs is not getting hit as one deep into the Virginia suburbs. Do they have discretion to say, well, we think we can handle an opening?
They do. Agencies outside the Beltway have that discretion to make the decision on their own. However, when we're talking about Washington, D.C. proper, for a coordinated approach, we ask that they follow the OPM lead.
And how early can this be done? Because I think a lot of people were wondering, especially for the Monday closing and also maybe for the early closure on Friday, before the weekend, that maybe those could have been handled a little earlier.
With every storm, we have to look at the timing of it and determine when it's ripe, when the best timing is to make the decision. Often that's to wait until we can get the latest and greatest information from all the partners to make sure that we have a decision which is appropriate and which isn't going to change. So we try to make them as early as we can, but again, only after we've had this very good collaboration with all of our partners.
What role has telework played in the whole decision-making process? Because that was a facility that really didn't exist in any widespread way 5 or 10 years ago.
Incorporated back in 2010 following our Snowmageddon storm, and we've seen great progress with telework so far. When we look at the employee viewpoint survey that we do each year, we get data on how many people indicate that they're eligible for telework. And right now in the National Capital Region, we've got about 71% of people that say that they have the capability to telework. So we think that's pretty encouraging news in making sure that we can continue to get the essential functions of the government done while at the same time allowing people to have a safe and secure, well, not a commute into the office, they're not coming to the office, but safe and secure community while we balance continuity of government.
If 71% of the people are capable of teleworking, if you back out people that are like guards or park rangers and that kind of person, that sort of outdoor job or on-the-spot type of job that requires some technical facility or being there, that's almost everybody.
The 71% is people that have that eligibility, and that eligibility may or may not be tied directly to storm events. Each agency and each telework agreement has to be uniquely crafted to take into consideration somebody's individual job and what they do. But 71% is what we think is a good number for how many people might be eligible to telework in a storm.
We're speaking with Dean Hunter. He's Director of Facilities, Security, and Emergency Management at the Office of Personnel Management. And what about the IT facilities that need to be kept running that might be within an agency building that support telework that enable it to happen? Do those people, are they expected to somehow get in there and make sure that nothing crashes and that everyone else can still telework?
Each agency has emergency employees, as you indicated, and those employees are required to continue work to make sure that we've got essential services, including the capability to have all of our telework capabilities up and running. So those folks would be designated as emergency employees and would be required to ensure that the network and infrastructure was up and running.
What is administrative leave? Because I get confused by that, and I think people do no matter how many times we go over it. But it's not the same as an excused absence, or is it? And it's not
the
same as vacation.
Administrative leave is very similar. It's just a different coding, but it essentially operates the same way. It is administrative absence. Excused leave.
It doesn't count against vacation.
No, it doesn't count against vacation.
And so that's available for people who cannot telework or who are not allowed to telework, but also can't be where they need to be.
Correct.
If you can telework, then basically you don't have that option anymore in your career.
It's up to each individual agency. That's something that the Office of Personnel Management has been greatly pushing, is that agencies institute provisions where the federal government is closed as a whole, that individuals continue to telework. But it's up to each agency to put in place provisions for that to take place.
In the aftermath of a storm, do the same groups meet when the school districts know that, well, probably Tuesday, Wednesday even, they won't be open, and Metro has to decide almost day by day as they get their external tracks cleared? How does OPM participate for the federal government as the aftermath wears on?
Sure, yeah, we've got that continuous dialogue. So we've got meetings scheduled throughout the course of today and into this evening to make sure that we're making an appropriate decision based upon the latest information. We coordinate a good deal with the chief human capital officers, so the heads of personnel in each of the divisions or each of the agencies, to make sure that any messaging that we get carries down to each of the agencies and in turn to the employees.
And how about your app? Are you happy with the way that's performing?
The app's been fantastic. We've noticed from the time that the decision is made by the director, it's minutes before that push is made and people get notification.
Dean Hunter is Director of Facilities, Security, and Emergency Management at the Office of Personnel Management. Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.